You know who else is fantastic?
Who's that?
Ron Moquette.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah. I'm assuming Ron's in the air. Do we have Ron? Okay, great. So,
all right, let's throw it out.
Listen, we wanted to do this piece, and so for people who don't know, Ron is an amazing trainer based out of Oaklawn mainly, comes up here for sure, and is – actually have a weird Ron Moquette story that he 100% does not remember that we've actually met before. But the
Could you introduce him and bring him on the show now?
Yeah, we're bringing him on the show, but we wanted to talk specifically.
We're not here to listen to you. Right, we're here to listen to Ron Moquette.
Ron, how's it going today?
Good. How are you?
It's great, Ron. Like, you know, the reason why I think we wanted to bring you on today is we wanted to talk a little bit about how horses get to the Kentucky Derby, but specifically, you had a horse run dead last in the Kentucky Derby who ended up having an okay career.
You may have heard of him. That's right.
The horse named Whitmore. They've actually got stakes races named after him. He's unbelievable.
I heard they're considering naming it Oaklawn Whitmore.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And we really want to just talk about, like, you know, we know that the winner's going to go to the stud barn pretty quickly.
All that stuff.
There's a lot of horses that come out of this race that have amazing careers and just not the classic distances. So tell us a little bit about Whitmore's story, how he qualified that Arkansas Road to the Derby, and you know, how you all kind of figured out who he was going to be after the Derby.
Well, when we got him originally, he's bred out of a Scat Daddy mare, being but pleasantly perfect, that won the Breeders' Cup, you know, Classic and the Dubai World Cup. He was actually, on paper, looked like to be a route horse. We knew he had a tremendous amount of speed, and we knew he was precocious, but he's bred to be a route horse. His father winning the Breeders' Cup Classic and all that stuff kind of indicated that the further, the better. And so when we started, you know, all signs pointed to a good horse if you have one going to the Kentucky Derby. So we allowed him to develop in that way. We'd been lucky enough to go, you know, be second in the Arkansas Derby with Far Right. So we knew the way to get there. And we kind of took him on that same path. We thought he was a lot better horse than Far Right, you know, as far as talent-wise. And I know he had better pedigree. But he runs second in the Rebel. We got beat by Baffert. I can't even remember the name of the horse, but I did curse him that day pretty well. And then we run third in the
Cup. That was Cupid was the name of that horse in that race, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Cupid. And actually, they had to leave, and they left Cupid to ride on the van to Kentucky with us. So we actually helped load Cupid, and he rode right beside Whitmore. But anyways, we thought that he had a shot. We believed that, you know, if you deserve to be there, if you've done all the things to do to deserve to be there. We've watched horses, you know, Super Saver run second in the Arkansas Derby and won the Kentucky Derby. Little E.T. had run, you know, third, I think, in the Arkansas Derby or second and won the Kentucky Derby. So we felt that he deserved a right to be there, and the gambling public did too. He went off at, I think, you know, about middle of the pack. But he got trapped down on the rail that day, and he come out of the race with a chipped knee. He ended up running absolutely last. And, you know, we took care of the knee, we gave him time, and we brought him back and decided that we were going to bring him back short and see how that went. I don't care if you run a mile and a half. I'll bring you, if you're coming off a layoff, I'll let you do a couple short races before I stretch out. Sure. And he did it so easy. Like, whenever he was sprinting, he'd come back to the test bar and he wouldn't even be blowing hard. So I was like, well, maybe he's telling us that this is easier for him and it'll help keep him around longer to do what's easier for him, so you're not straining him and pressing him to run this further distance. So we basically kept him short. And, you know, thank God that we did, because – You know what followed after that?
$4.5 million of purse money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too
yeah,
bad.
$4.5 million. But not only that, you know, no matter what, all these trainers that have horses in the Kentucky Derby, they're there because of the horse, not them. And we go everywhere we go in this business is on the back of a racehorse. And just imagine if I would have just kept going at a route to try to make him something he's not. He wouldn't have carried us near as far as he carried us. And, you know, it's kind of a deal where he told me what he wanted to do, and I was, you know, lucky enough to listen to him.
Well, it's a really interesting point because I think when you said, you look at the breeding, like this horse should be a route horse, right? So we get all this data and all this stuff. We got too much data in horse racing in some ways, right?
It's the original, analytics sport, right? Yeah, it's the original analytics, yeah, right.
And you could have easily said, oh, this horse should be routing. And then all you had to do was go see what the horse was doing. But talk about that as the job as a trainer a little bit more. Unpack that. Like, you know that you're looking at all this data. You think you figured it out. Louie and I talk about how horses are basically middle school athletes when they come to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, three-year-olds, yeah.
And we just really don't know what that horse is going to be. So, like, what's that process overall? Like, about trying to figure out what they do really want to do?
So a lot of stuff that I've learned in this business is by listening to other people and asking questions, obviously. And one of the things that Lucas said a long time ago that I always remember is that trainers and gamblers have opinions, horses have the facts. So when you buy a horse or you bet on a horse, you do it based on your opinion. And afterwards, you gotta look at what happened. The horse is going to tell you the truth. Your job is to figure it out. And then, you know, for instance, I'll give you a big for instance. If you look up the horse that is a half-brother to Mitoli, which was Whitmore's nemesis,
yes,
you know, that horse was better at a mile and an eighth. And yet Mitoli was one of the best sprinters we've seen in decades. And yet his brother, what is it, My Boy Charlie or whatever his name is, he was a very good horse at a mile and an eighth. So if you didn't take and if you bought that horse to be a sprinter and then you just did that, you'd have never won those grade ones with that horse that is now standing stallion that is a half to Mitoli that never run well under 7/8. So the other thing that I could tell you is, you know, the old saying, Mom, Pa Dempsey had nine sons, only one Jack. So they could have the exact same pedigree and be different individuals.
I mean, why are we listening to Wayne Lucas? He only won this race, like, what, four times? 25
right.
Eclipse winning horses?
he's been there a few days. So I think we should listen to it. I have an interesting take on the Derby. I want to win it. I think everybody in this business should attain to win it. It's the biggest race in the world. And if you're not trying to win the biggest race, then what are you doing? However, I will tell you that if you're a gambling fan or a racing fan, you know, there's a lot better races on the card than the Kentucky Derby.
We 100% talk about that every year. You know how everyone's looking at these three-year-old horses about how they're the stars, and lo and behold, you have a Wise Dan on the track or something
right,
like that.
Yeah, it's right.
like,
or the
that's
Turf Classic
the star.
Field has like six stars in it. Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think if you go there as a fan, if you know that, you can set aside, you know, some money to say, hey, look, Wise Dan's not running without me watching and betting on it. I don't care if there's a bunch of three-year-olds I've never seen run before or not. We understand what brings people in, but you know, at the end of the day, you need to make the memories while you can. And a lot of times, I feel that some of these good horses are overlooked. And we should always build up the best in our business.
Rod Moquette's with us. He's a trainer. He's based at Oaklawn Park. He had Whitmore as his greatest trainee ever. Like I said, they're renaming where he lives to Whitmore. The Hot Springs are moving it out of the way. They're just going to call it Whitmore.
Whitmore.
Hey, there's a horse in the Derby this year named Endless Lead. He came out of the Jeff Ruby Stakes. His trainer, Mike McCarthy, is really convinced his future is on the turf. Obviously, the ownership is the big push for him to run in the Kentucky Derby. I don't want you to speak for Mike McCarthy, obviously, but is this a commonplace occurrence for trainers? Do you have owners calling and say, hey, I'd like to try this, I want to do this, and how much do you ask your owners to rely on, you know, what you're getting, you know, that feedback, frankly, just from the horse itself?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and Todd Pletcher get by with saying what they want to do and doing it more than somebody that's Mike McCarthy's age or stature in the business. if Bob said do it, they'd probably say, okay, do it. But Rich Strike has made it tough on all of us that don't think our horses belong in the Kentucky Derby. If you remember, Rich Strike, the owner wanted to go, the trainer didn't, and it just kind of happened, and you won. So anybody that's a gambler wants to have a shot.
Yeah, there you go.
So there is pressure. Definitely there is pressure. And Mike's a good horseman, and at the end of the day, you're going to make more money listening to the people you put in charge that know about the horse. But I understand the passion. There is a thing that is documented called Derby Fever. And you're not going to outrun it. If you want to do business with people that want to go to the Derby and you have a horse that qualified and you didn't, that's probably the quickest way to not do business with those people anymore.
Well, Ron, I need to, since you've mentioned everybody's name, I'm going to tell you where you and I actually met before, because the story is like one of my favorite Derby moments of all time.
Let's go.
It was like the weekend before the Derby, before all the media circus gets here, and I got here stupid early, and I'm up in the observation deck. And actually, Wayne Lucas comes up on his, you know, the huge horse he rides out here. He always says the duck get to the barns and whatever else. And he just pulls up, and we start having a conversation. And before I know it, you come up, Baffert comes up, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, I'm sitting here with, like, these awesome
Baffert,
trainers,
Moquette,
and I'm just, like,
going
to nod my head and not say a word. And so, you know, like I said, 100% no, you would not remember that because I didn't say anything. I didn't introduce myself. But it was just unbelievable for me to be kind of in that conversation. So, but that's the kind of magic stuff that happens Derby week.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, that could be something, like, I promise you I was probably doing the same fanboy thing that you were doing. Because
I get it.
If you get a chance to be around Baffert, it's one thing, or Lucas, it's one thing. But if you get a chance to be around all of them together, that's magic. That's something that's, if you're in this industry, that's something that you can tell your grandkids about. I sat next to Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert giving each other so much grief one day, and it was like the best banter back and forth because they're both good at it. And I'll never forget it. And I did just look like what you said you did. I just sat quiet and in amazement and was like, you know, watching two legends rumble. It was a blast.
Absolutely, man. We're big fans of Arkansas. Go ahead, Louie.
Yeah, no, Ron, we're just up at the top of the hour here, and I think a good closer for Ron.
Yeah.
We used to have a man here who did radio in the afternoons, a buddy of ours, Jason Anderson. He's since moved on to the Kansas City market, and he would ask all of the coaches that came on a question. Is it X's and O's or Jimmy's and Joe's in basketball? What matters more? And every single coach he ever had on said Jimmy's and Joe's. It's about the players.
Yeah.
I have to imagine, Ron, is it about training or is it about the horses?
No, here's the thing. If I couldn't have the individual relationship with my horses, I'd quit. There's not enough joy in it. I like the individual relationship. But we are a product of what we take care of. No matter what, I'll tell you a quick story real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I want you to look up the coach of Shaquille O'Neal whenever he was a junior at Houston in high school.
Okay.
And that's how we are with horse racing. And here's what I mean by that is this man had a 50-year career. And the year that he had Shaquille O'Neal, he was the USA Today High School Coach of the Year.
Of course he was.
So I'm going to tell you, if you don't think the Jimmies and Joes move the needle, I can train a guy all day, every day, if he's 4 foot tall to dunk a basketball, and coach him up to the best of my ability, and he's not going to be able to dunk a basketball. So you want the people with the talent, and just like with horses, we want horses that have the ability to get us to where we want to go, and then we'll coach them up and train them the best we can. You're not gonna make a 4 foot guy dunk a basketball by coaching.
I will say, Mike and I happened to be very fortunate, and we were there at Keeneland when Whitmore won his race in the Breeders' Cup.
Yep, it was awesome.
When he won the sprint. And it was, even in a subdued environment like that, Ron, I think Mike remembers, I actually stood up and applauded.
Especially because dealing with the wind.
Well, no, not that. It was the one before that.
Yeah.
So it was the COVID one.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah. But remember, front runners were winning everything, and he actually came from off
behind.
The pace
that's
that
right,
day.
That's right.
And it was, that was an all-time, Ron, that was an all-time sprint performance, and I hope when you have trouble sleeping, you think about that, you're able to just fall right asleep as happy as
possible. Thank you. Well, I can tell you this. that was laid out for me because I was going through health issues, and if it wouldn't been for the COVID year, I wouldn't have been able to go. I wouldn't have been able to witness my Breeders' Cup win. And also, it was so quiet there that all of us trainers were sitting beside each other. And one of the reasons that I love that so much is because as we're going down the stretch, you know, Steve Asmussen and I give each other a hard time. He beats me every chance he gets. I try to compete with him. But as he saw that his horses wasn't winning, and he looked down to see who was in front, when he saw that he wasn't going to win and that Whitmore was the horse that he recognized was winning, he started screaming for us.
That's the
thing that people don't understand. It wasn't just Ron Moquette. It was a good horse that tried for several times to get there, and finally he did. And that's what this game's about. That's what keeps you from you know, driving off of a bridge. I mean, you got to have those moments.
There you go. Well, he is Ron Moquette. He's down there at Oaklawn Park, joins us here on Rabot & Co., ESPN 680-1057. Ron, don't be a stranger, buddy. We really appreciate it.
And we hope to come down there and visit you, too. We want to get to Hot
Springs. We love Matt Dinnerman. Give us a Matt Dinnerman story.
He's the man.
He is the man.
I'll tell you this. He's one of the up-and-coming guys. Oaklawn is very happy to have him. And, you know, he is just like you and I. He's a fan of all things sports and all things racing, and that's what I want.
There you go. All right, he is I know, CZ Rocket, Firenze Fire, Empire of Gold, Manny Watt,
Hog
Diamond
Creek
Hoops, Hog Creek Hustle.
I mean, that race
Yaupone, oh, man, that was a – Frank's Rocket was in that race. Yeah. That is one of the great Breeders' Cup sprints of all time. Ron, thanks so much for joining us, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
All right, there you go. Ron Morkin.